We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Happy Friday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs. You are listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast right here in Cocoa, Florida, WMIE 91.5 FM, 8:30 and 5 o'clock, WWBC 1510 AM at 10:30 of a morning. So this is our last opportunity to invite you to our Christmas banquet. And so we want to extend that invitation to you. If you get this message, we really need to hear from you before noon today. That would be awesome. If we have limited seating capabilities for our Christmas banquet on Sunday night, but we did want to extend that invitation, give you an opportunity to come. It would give me the opportunity to meet you, which would be an honor for me, and give you an opportunity to see some of the saints at Merit Assembly of God. So if you're interested in coming to our Christmas banquet, which is Sunday night at 6:30, call us at 454-4263. Let us know that you are coming. We do want to invite you also out to our Christmas Sunday message, and that is going to be Sunday morning at 10:30. We would love to have you come and be a part of that as we worship and celebrate our Savior. Today's sponsor is Jits Concrete in Cocoa, Florida. Their number is 536-5804. And I don't know if you've ever tried to do your own concrete work or not, but I have when I was in other parts of the state. And let me tell you, that is hard work, and it is a lot of work. And if you try and tackle that, you are not going to be able to do it as well as the professionals can. And so if you have some outdoor work or concrete work that you need done, if you reach Greg at 536-5804, 536-5804, tell him you heard about it right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast, and he will get you fixed up. They've done work for us at our church, and it was absolutely wonderful. So anyway, today I want to take you back, and we're going to continue talking about what life is like as you get very near the kingdom of God. And we talked a little bit about it yesterday. We were in Luke chapter 10. And I want to take you back to that chapter today, the 10th chapter of Luke, and verse number 10 and 11. I want to read that because it says there, "But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The very dust of your city which cling to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city.'" What I want you to know today is that even if others have rejected the kingdom of God, that does not alter the reality of the kingdom of God. Today, whatever decision you make, again, we're talking about the kingdom of God, and in the Lord's Prayer, it says we want the kingdom of God to come. We want that to come and manifest in our life. I want the kingdom to manifest in my body. I want the kingdom to manifest in my mind. I want the kingdom to manifest in my home, my marriage, my relationship with my kids. I want the kingdom to manifest in my church. And I want you to know that even though others reject the kingdom, that does not change the reality that the kingdom is, that it exists. When David was king, he rejected bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem because his friend Uzzah had reached out, touched the Ark, and had been killed. It struck him down dead. And David said, far be it from me if the ark ever comes into my city. So he sent it to his friend Obed-Edom's house. And while the ark was there, the house of Obed-Edom was being tremendously blessed. And so David got his way. He didn't bring the ark into Jerusalem, and he sent it away. He rejected the presence of the ark, but it did not change the blessing that was available for Obed-Edom's house. Finally, after 3 months, they came to David and said, you might want to reconsider your rejection of the presence of the Ark of the Covenant, because Obed-Edom is having a season of blessing and favor like we've never seen before. And so David began to look into the Word of God, and he discovered that it was his fault, basically. If I can put it to you that way, it was David's fault. David wanted the Ark brought into Jerusalem, but he chose to do it the Philistines' way instead of the way that God had prescribed it to be done in the Word of God. And so because there was a, because they had not done things God's way, they did not get God's blessing. I have a saying, if you want to reject the wisdom, then you reject the provision as well. And so I encourage you today, do not reject the king, but accept the king. If your brothers, your sisters, your mother, your father, your boss, your spouse, if everybody rejects the king, don't reject the king. Their rejection does not alter Jesus' reality. The fact that there are businesses right now that refuse to say Merry Christmas. Listen, I worked for a company one time, and they told me, look, you cannot say Merry Christmas when people are coming into the doors. You are going to offend them. And you know what? That company is no longer in business. Is that the reason that they're no longer in business? No, they had plenty of mistakes on their own. But they wanted the blessing of the Christmas business without being out there saying Merry Christmas. Well, listen, Jesus is still the reason for the season, no matter what Wall Street says, no matter what is politically correct or politically incorrect. And so I just encourage you, if other people have rejected the kingdom, just understand that they are rejecting God's blessing, and you don't have to follow suit. They may put peer pressure on you. Listen, we used to think that peer pressure was only something that existed in junior high and senior high school. That's baloney. Peer pressure exists in contemporary America right now. It's just not a minor issue for people under 18. It takes place in the workplace. It takes place in a social environment. And I just encourage you, as you are near the kingdom, begin to embrace the king and watch the distinction that begins to take place. I've got a man in our church, phenomenal man of God. Love this brother to pieces. And what happened is, as he began to mature in his walk with God, he began to see a larger and larger distinction between the way things that were going in his life, in his home, in his finances, than was taking place in people who were not part of the kingdom. They could be near the kingdom, but they weren't. And so I encourage you to embrace the kingdom, because life with Jesus is a whole lot better than life without Jesus. So kingdom rejection does not alter the reality. Now, I want to take you back and show you some other things. We're going to be talking next week about what life is like inside the kingdom, not just near the kingdom. But first of all, I'll take you to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 28. Matthew chapter 12. I'm turning there myself. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 25 is where we're going to begin. But Jesus knew their thoughts, and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? By the way, the answer to that question is They weren't. Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then he will plunder his house. And he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. And so what we see here in Matthew chapter 12, verse number 28, is as Jesus was ministering, the people began to be upset, and they began to accuse him of casting out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. And Jesus said, you know, if I'm doing that, by whom do your people? And the reality was demons weren't being cast out until Jesus showed up. When the kingdom of God begins to draw near, the power of the enemy is broken. The presence of the enemy begins to come under attack. And when you and I submit to God and resist the devil, he begins to flee. And so I'm very thankful, because when the kingdom of God begins to draw near, there begins to be this spiritual war that begins to take place in a very real sense. All of a sudden, that which began to terrorize communities, that power was broken, and Jesus brought peace. Demons are driven out when the kingdom of Jesus begins to draw near. And so I encourage you today that greater is he within you than he that is in the world. Today, I do not have to live intimidated by demonic forces, because greater is he who is living inside of me than he that is in the world. Demonic spirits are known because they speak the language of deception. They do not speak truth, they speak deception. People of the kingdom speak truth, not deception. That's one of the distinctions. The word of God describes that in the last days, even in the last hour, that there would be the spirit of Antichrist, not just the Antichrist, the person, but the spirit of Antichrist, many people who would be living against Christ, against the anointed one of God. And so it says that would be specifically take place in the last hour. When Jesus came and walked upon the earth, all of a sudden, people who had lived under the power of demonic possession began to be delivered and set free. Now, there would be people that say, Pastor Bob, you really don't believe that people are possessed by demonic spirits, do you? And I would tell you, absolutely I do. I absolutely do. Because it's in the Word of God, I believe it. Do I believe that everything that comes against me is because of demonic opposition? No. We live in a hard world. We live in a hard world. But to deny, you know, it's not all or nothing. But to deny that there are people, let me tell you what I believe one of the greatest indicators of demonic activity in a person's life is whenever there is activity that is seeking to destroy one's existence, I believe that is an indicator of demonic possession. People who had children who were under demonic activity, it said that it would oftentimes throw them into the fire. It would throw them into the water. It was trying to destroy them. And yet Jesus was able to come and deliver those people and set them free. So I pray that you, this Christmas season, that the kingdom of God would draw near you and the power of the enemy would be broken in your life, that it would be remarkably transformative, that people would know that there is something different that is taking place in your life. Our next passage is going to be in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And in verse number 20, it says, "Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. And so the kingdom, it's not a place that you go. The proximity to the kingdom, it begins to manifest on our insides. It begins to manifest with a change in our heart, with a change in our attitude, with the change of our perception, with the change of our purpose, with the change of our identity. We begin to see ourselves as God sees us instead of the way that we've always seen us. Now, I want you to know that this principle has tried to be hijacked by the enemy. And they say, well, if you will just look inside of you, the solution to your problem is inside you. I want you to know that that statement is only true if Jesus is living in your heart and is the Lord of your life. Inside of Bob, apart from Jesus, is lying, is murderers, is hatred, is rage, is sexual sin. Inside of me, apart from Jesus, there isn't a solution, just things that magnify the problem. But when the kingdom of God comes near and begins to transform my heart, then all of a sudden I begin to realize that the kingdom is taking up residence inside of my life, and it puts a whole new change of things. So even when the kingdom of God is living inside of my heart, and the fullness of God is abiding inside of me, I'm not looking to myself for my solutions. I'm looking to the King. And I'm crying out, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, King Jesus, I need a solution. I need a word. I need a word of wisdom for my business. I need a word of wisdom for the church. I need a word of wisdom for my finances. I need a word of wisdom for my home life. And so you and I, we realize that the King is very close when we have asked him to forgive us of our sins and be the Lord of our life. So Matthew chapter 6 was where we're going to close out today's broadcast. Matthew chapter 6. Remember, all of this is studying because in the Lord's Prayer it says, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. And so we're looking at the reality of what life is like when Jesus is our King. And in verse number 31, it says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. If I can give you a gift today, it would be this. The nearer that you get to the kingdom, the less you worry about the things the world worries about. The closer you get to the kingdom, the nearer you draw, the more that worry loses its power over your life. The closer you get to the kingdom, more faith arises in your life, and fear and anxiety and worry and depression diminish. Joy rises and sorrow decreases. I'm telling you that you understand that God, the King, is going to meet your needs. You know, here we are. We are drawing down to the end of the year, Friday, December the 19th, 2014. That's where we are. And I can tell you that we have needs. We have needs at our church, but that does not mean that I am bound up in a knot, worried and anxious about what is going to take place, because it's God's church. It's God's people. It's God's need, and we just commit those things to him. We do not operate in a spirit of folly or a spirit of foolishness. We operate with wisdom. We operate as good stewards, but we recognize that if Christmas is indicative of anything, it is that God is a miracle-working God, that he is not restricted to natural solutions. And so we are thankful for his provision, thankful for his wisdom. So let me give you a great gift this weekend. Don't worry. I'm not just going to sing, "Don't worry, be happy." That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about take worry and throw it out of your mind and replace it with faith. Allow faith to arise in your heart, faith to be the words that come out of your mouth, and say, you know what? Now I'm going to do what the rest of this passage talks about, because it says the nearer that you get to the kingdom of God, you're going to have two priorities that begin to take place. And that is, the first one is you're going to be seeking the kingdom of God. I want to ask you to look back on your last week, this last week, just from Sunday through Friday here today. And I want to ask you this: how much time have you spent intentionally seeking God? I'm talking about, how much time did you spend intentionally seeking him when you were going to church? How much time did you intentionally seek to worship him while you were at church? How much time did you intentionally spend in the Word? How much time did you intentionally spend on your own worshiping him, learning about the kingdom, growing in him? How much time did you intend seeking to enlarge the kingdom of God? How much time did you spend seeking after God's will instead of just praying and asking God to bless your will? The kingdom of God, the closer you get, you understand the more desirable it is. And it needs to be sought after. It needs to be longed for. Very, very few people just accidentally fall into the kingdom of God. Instead, it is a place where we have a desire, a longing to seek after the kingdom of God. And then we realize this: he's been looking for us all along. He's been looking for us all along. There's another thing it says here in Matthew 6:33. By the way, this is a tremendous verse to memorize. If you haven't ever practiced scripture memorization, this is a great place to start. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, the thing is, the kingdom of God must be sought after, but we also need to be seeking righteousness. Righteousness is evidence of a redeemed life. Righteousness is evidence of a redeemed relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, the closer you get to the kingdom, the less you're going to want to sin. The closer you get to the kingdom, the less you're going to want to have part in all of the misery that other people. The scripture says that people will look at you and they will think that it's unusual that you are not participating with them in the same dissipation of life. They're going to think that it's strange that you're not going out to party with them because you are going home and you are being a good steward of your finances instead of blowing it. They're going to think that it is odd that you are not going out and participating with them in the strip clubs. Instead, you are going to go home and you're going to be faithful to your spouse. They're going to think that it's odd that you are not going out and doing things that are destroying you physically. Instead, you are going to go and participate in things that are going to build you up spiritually. You know what I say? Let them think that I'm weird. Let them think that I'm weird. That is okay with me. But you see, righteousness has got to be a goal. You're not just going to accidentally wake up one day and say, "Yo, wow, look at this. I'm suddenly righteous." You have got to get into the Word. You need to investigate the lifestyle that God wants you to lead. You need to discover the righteousness that is yours because Jesus Christ is your righteousness, and he begins to live. Actually, Paul puts it this way: the life I now live, I live by the grace of God. I live by the Son of God. I live by the power of God. You've got to seek righteousness. So the closer that we get to the kingdom, let's look and see what all we've talked about today. The closer we get to the kingdom, we realize that even though people denied its existence, we discovered it was a reality. Do you know that people used to think that the world was flat, that people who would sail into the ocean, that they'd just fall off the edge? And then one day somebody made that journey and they said, you know what? That wasn't reality. Other people rejected the truth and embraced a lie, but it didn't change the reality. When you are close to the kingdom, you're going to find that the power of God is greater than the power of Satan. You're going to find that the kingdom of God is living within you. You're going to find that the kingdom of God is something to be sought after, not something to be spurned. You're going to see that the kingdom of God is something to embrace righteousness instead of embracing a life of sin. And the last thing about Matthew 6:33 that I want to share with you, and it says this: and all these things shall be added to you. All these things shall be added to you. And so here's the great thing. When the closer you get to the kingdom of God, you're going to find that not only are your needs going to be met, but you're going to have God adding a lot of other things into your life. Listen, God wants to bless you. And his capability of blessing you is far superior to anything that the world has to offer. I want to encourage you. I challenge you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Banish worry from your life and allow him to add everything that is necessary, everything that is needed. He is a gracious God. So just want to remind you again today about our sponsor today, Jits Concrete, 536-5804. And also, if you would like to be a part of our Christmas Sunday service, we would love to see you Sunday morning at 10:30, 165 North Grove Street, or come and be a part of our Christmas banquet Sunday night at 6:30. You just need to call us and let us know that you're coming, 454-4263. Let's close out this week in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you today that it is your desire for the kingdom to be a reality in our life. I pray, God, that today every person who is listening, Lord, that they would realize that your kingdom is something to be sought after, not rejected. And I pray, God, that righteousness would be a reality in our life. I pray that demonic activity would diminish. And Lord, I pray that the power of Jesus Christ would be on demonstration. We will see you Monday here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. Everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing.